It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, and with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
We are doing well, Cheddar Talk. We both had the week off last week, as you and I know, and I'm sure all of the lovely listeners here and around the world know very well. I know I've seen your pictures, but you want to tell anybody where kind of what you got to see this last week?
Yeah, I know. I had a very different vacation than yours. We actually didn't have one planned. We had some stuff happen with family, so we had to jumble last minute. We were planning on sticking around Janesville for the whole spring break bit, but instead, family members couldn't come for Easter and blah 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 whatever. So we went ahead and found a cabin in up in Door County, Outback Cottages. Check them out. It's not high end, but it's affordable, and their cabins are awesome. They're small and very intimate. Check it out. Outback Cabins. Galen and Pam are the best. And anyways, we snuck up to Door County. Not a lot to see in Door County this time of year because it was pre-April and most of Door County shut down. But we did stop by Lambeau Field on the way up there. And I took the kids for the first time to Lambeau Field. I've been to Lambeau Field a number of times. Holly's been there twice, John. She was there once before when we were younger to go to the Hall of Fame with me before we had the kids. And, of course, when we decided to run up and down all those stairs during the Spartan Dash.
That's right. Yeah.
And so otherwise, the first time for the kids to be there, and they were pretty stoked because they got to go. We did a field tour, which right now these days during COVID is they kind of tell you some history of the stadium in the atrium, and then they just walk you out to the bowl and let you run around, you know. Yeah, so, which is kind of sad. It's not like the tours usually are, but the kids got to get out there. We took lots of pictures, and we went to the Hall of Fame. That was great. Which was odd because I had no idea that you were going to be going through the Pro Football Hall of Fame too, like just a couple days later. But and I did find out in the hall, if you've ever been to the Packer Hall of Fame, there's a section there was compare yourself to the size of Packers players. And they, of course, have like Marco Rivera, who's 6'7", 6'8". I didn't realize he was that tall. Yeah, he's a big dude. Like,
he was
a tall guy they had. And then, of course, they have Bakhtiari like in a crouch. And, of course, there's that Reggie White there, like the statue of like how big he'd be if he was on, you know, if you were, he's huge.
Yeah, 6'7", but huge for a guard, especially. I mean, that's tackle type height. Usually guards are a little smaller.
Yep. And then they had footprints on the ground of guy, you know, people's feet size. And of course, NFL players have huge feet. They, you know, they were some of the shoes that are on display there are just giant. Santana Dotson more like a size 17, 16, something like that. Well, then they had handprints on the wall. And John, I am happy to report that my hands are bigger than Mark Chimura's were.
Nice. You know what they say about big hands, Aaron?
You wear big gloves.
Big gloves. You need huge big gloves.
So, and then the second set of hands was Brett Favre's. And my hands are as big as Brett Favre's. Sans, my middle finger is about a quarter inch shorter than his was.
From overuse, I'm sure.
So, what's that?
From overuse, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. mine's been stunted from being held up against gravity so much. And then the hand size that killed me was Dorsey Levin's. Dorsey Levin's, my hands weren't even close to his. His were monsters. That was the next hand up. And it's like, I would never have thought that I mean, because Dorsey was pretty normal sized. I mean, he was a big back, wasn't a monster. He was, 6'1", 225, you know?
Out of Georgia Tech. Yeah.
What's that?
Out of Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, yes. Yeah. Go Rebels.
The rambling wreck of Georgia Tech. Yellow Jackets.
Just like UW Spear. I should have known that.
Jeez.
How were the Smokies?
They were fantastic. We stayed at a little cabin for a couple days in the Smoky Mountains, which is beautiful and just wonderful to be outside. And we saw a waterfall. We saw a couple other things there. And then we went to Williamsburg, walked around out there, walked around at Yorktown, and what was the other? We walked around at Jamestown. So it was cool. We were outdoors mostly for stuff we could see outside and go and see different things. I got to see Old Dominion's football field. As Aaron, you know very well, I like to see Division I football fields.
What's Old Dominion? The Demon Deacons?
They're the Monarchs.
Oh, I would never have guessed that.
Their symbol's
50,
a big.
You could have given me 50 guesses. I wouldn't have gotten there.
Yeah, they're in Conference USA. They are the Monarchs. They've only been D1 for like 5 years now. They're in the very last NCAA football game that was produced by EA Sports. But Norfolk.
I'm not ignorant. I know that Old Dominion's a college. I just had no idea.
Yeah, no. Well, they've only been actual like FBS for a couple years though. I know the school. Yeah, they're down in Norfolk, and. Drove over there. Yeah, right. So, yeah, we had a good time. Saw the Pro Football Hall of Fame, like you said, too. One of the other things we did on the way back. And
we have to bring this up, John, because this is a Wisconsin-based podcast. You mentioned it, and I agreed with you. That was your first time at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I've been there a couple times in my life. I have an uncle that lives very close by to Canton, so whenever I go out to visit him, I've been there 3-4 times. Packer Hall of Fame, better than the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Better, not quite as big, but better. The quality of the exhibits, the quality of the things you can do, like there's interactive tables and videos and stuff like that, and the exhibits, they're just better at the Packer Hall of Fame, actually.
Oh, the Packer Hall of Fame, when you walk in right away at the beginning, they have the modern uniform broken down in this big cage or in this big glass box, and they also have another static display that has very current things that have happened in the last 3 years. Now, I haven't been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in like 9 years or so, but they've kind of just put some stuff up like 40 years ago and kind of update a little bit, but otherwise it didn't change much between the 3 times I was there over 15 years. So yeah. I don't know if it's the same now. Like, you sent me a picture of Ernie Nevers' Duluth Eskimos jersey, that's super cool, but it was exactly the same as it was 9 years ago when I was there.
What they had here now that you haven't seen is the Weeknd's jacket from the Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh my god, I would pay good money for that.
It's great. And the bandaged face thing that all the dancers wore. They had one of those there.
Diaper face. Yes.
All right. Well, let's talk about actual sports here, and we'll get rolling.
Did they have Tom Brady's ego on display?
No, you can't. There's not enough room in that building.
Is that what they're doing with what used to be the Superdome down in Houston now?
Astrodome.
Astrodome. Sorry, my bad. Stepped on my own joke.
All right, and we'll get rolling right away here. Then, in what we like to call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, so the main event. We're going to start off doing Packers, but it's not much. There's not much here. Aaron and I are going to get more into pre-draft things in the next couple weeks, but this week, with how much other things that we actually missed, we don't really have the time for that, although we did just spend a lot of time just talking about ourselves. You guys all came for that, and
it's the sports abyss. I mean, come on.
Well, okay, so big news. Tyler Lancaster, everybody. We got him. He's coming back.
He's back
more than the minimum, but not what you could have tendered him for what he has. Lancaster's a nice run stopper and nothing much more. He's not going to get you pass rush. He's a nice run stopper and a low cost guy to have.
And go with what you know what you got with him. He's a known commodity.
Yeah.
So
Mercedes Lewis is coming back for his 83rd season in the NFL.
Sweet.
And he's still good. And Rodgers.
I get super mad about the people that are like, oh, old butt my cap's going to say something else. Sorry. You know, old man, Marcin Lewis coming back. He's a great character guy. He's a great blocker and he can still catch the ball and move with it if he has to. And yeah. you can't yeah. make up for his experience. He is a good player. Is he Hall of Fame? No. Is he Packer Hall of Fame? Probably not, because he hasn't been here long enough. But that dude has been around the league. He knows the ins and outs. He is so smart. And, you know, he's – if you think for a second that Tonyan, him getting better as quickly as he has, isn't partially because Mercedes Lewis is in the same room with him, you're dead wrong. That's why the Packers tight end room is strong with a bunch of guys from Indiana State. You know, yeah. it's because Mercedes Lewis is helping them out. Yeah. You know, he's a good dude. Like, I'm glad he's back.
To be clear, it's actually his 16th season he's coming back for, but still, it's fantastic. Will Redman, which we're all excited to see. We may or may not be, actually. I don't much care. I mean, he's a special teamer guy who doesn't seem to understand how, you know, safety zones work. But other than that, he's nice. It says on the Packers website, he was third on the team in special team snaps this year. Okay.
Who's that safety we had a couple years ago that just absolutely got destroyed a couple times?
Oh, that one? All of our safeties were getting destroyed a couple years ago.
No, I'm trying to think. He had a very odd last name. I can't think of it. Oh, God.
Well, think about it while we move through the rest of these things here. The only other thing Packers to really talk about is that Aaron Rodgers hosted his first Jeopardy. And, of course, the big news, as reported by Pro Football Talk, is, hey, do you think he'll quit professional football to, you know, do Jeopardy full-time?
God, Gloria is such a hack.
I see you've caught on to where I was going with this. This is the stupidest question. There's no question on Jeopardy that would ever be as dumb or blatantly obvious as that question, because that's a dumb question, Florio, and it was a waste of everybody's time. He's a clickbait troll at this point. I don't know what else to say about him.
He is, and a known Vikings apologist too.
Oh yeah,
that's.
All right, we are going to move out of that now, just because. It's really all there is. The only other thing to say in football is that they've actually started spring practice. There's spring practice going on in Madison. There's film coming out. There's videos of Danny Davis making some great catches coming back this year for he gets the additional season. He's taking full advantage of it. It's just nice to have that somewhere out there that the Badgers are practicing right now. And that makes me happy, at least, to know that there's something on its way with Badger football as well. And, you know, maybe there'll be a sign-in type thing. You can buy something to watch the Badger spring game or something like that. I don't know. We'll see what it is. But didn't the
Badgers abandon the spring game? Because in 2019, I ended up going to that, what would have been the spring game, but instead they had a workout, right?
Only last year did they actually abandon the spring game. They've had one all the other years. I don't know what happened.
What's their spring thing? Because we went to their spring.
They also have Family Day.
Family Day. They didn't have a spring game on Family Day.
No,
they
just those are had, different like, things.
They were doing workouts and stuff. We got to see them do the Oklahoma drill, which was cool. You know, that's fun watching big dudes run into each other. But
yeah, there is a Family Day, which is a different thing. You go on the field and everything like that. And my son got to play when he was much younger. Catch with Tice's kid was like the fourth string quarterback for the Badgers, and was playing catch with him out there. I forget his name though. It was also Tice. I just don't remember his first name. But
Mike.
Well, I'm thinking that his son. I can't remember his son's name. It was like,
I mean like Mike Tice, like actual Mike Tice, like former Vikings coach,
Vikings head coach. His son played for the Badgers, and wasn't really any good. He was like the fourth string quarterback. Yeah.
Oh, how'd I miss that?
Yeah, I don't know. Because he didn't ever play.
That would probably be part of it. So,
yeah. All right. But we did actually have baseball this week. We had opening day. We did. And we know that Wendy is very excited, and we are very excited because, like Aaron and I have talked before, whatever you may think of baseball, you know, like baseball is like the background music to our lives. It's mm-hmm. it's something that can be on and enjoyed and experienced without having to be all consuming. You can just have Euchre talking.
It was fun listening to Euchre again this weekend, I'll tell you that much.
It is so good to have Euchre just seriously, like listening to Euchre while doing yard work is great. Like I said, like you don't necessarily care so much what James Horner has written or what I think other people who write music, Hans Zimmer or John Williams sometimes, what they're writing while the characters are talking. But you notice it, and it informs the scenes, and it makes the scene better. Baseball is the background music of our lives. It's not necessarily like football, where football is the reason you're in that room. It's the reason you're doing. It's the reason you are dressed as you are. It's the reason you are eating as you are, and you schedule things around it. Baseball just happens while you're doing the other things. It can you can continue doing your normal life, and just have baseball on, and still be in it entirely. And, you know, it's I guess that's what I love about baseball. It's a different feeling to sport. And it's just, yeah. And it's also what American culture is just steeped in baseball lore and, just the language we use even. So yeah, I'm glad to have baseball. I mean, I'd rather they were playing better right now. They had just that weird first game, which was massively exciting. Getting down, they were, you know, they're down, they need three runs to tie it up, and there he is, the mayor of Ding Dong City, getting a double to tie the yes. game in the ninth. And that's the only win the Brewers have right now. They're 1-3.
Yeah, they should have gotten swept. Let's not be nice about this thing.
Well,
although Corbin Burnes had a great start on Saturday, minus a late innings comeback, that was a rough series. But anyways,
well, I mean, like the biggest thing is they're just not hitting yet. The pitching looks great. Yeah. I mean, Woodruff, he doesn't get the win, but you know, Woody goes out there and pitches a nice game. And some people are getting down on him for his first game. He gave, you know, three runs or whatever, and it's like, he still looked good. He had a couple moments where, you know, he didn't dominate necessarily that first one, but he still looked good. He looked in control of the game. It never looked lost. He didn't get lucky on the outs he had. The outs he got were he was getting good pitches. Just that Twins team can hit, for crying out loud.
They can. They're like, they're the Bomba Squad, man. They can launch them.
That team can't
win playoff games, but they can hit the ball. Like,
yeah, and we're not in the playoffs yet, so we still have to deal with regular season Twins. And mm-hmm. like I tweeted out, this is what I want for the World Series. I want Brewers Twins World Series, the I-94 World Series. It'd be so. I just watched
Major League Baseball would love that.
Major League Baseball headquarters just implodes and
becomes the first known black hole. Then we can prove Einstein's theory. I mean, right, there we go.
Use it to study science. Yeah,
it's good for us and it's good for physics. So let's go with that.
And I guess to the same extent that you say, like, we're lucky we didn't get swept. If the Brewers just did one or two situational hits in that second game, they win that game.
Did you catch any of that game on Saturday?
Yes, I watched.
Burnsy struck out the sides twice.
Yes. Burns looked incredible.
He was killing them. To start, kind of sputtered out a little bit. But
well, he gave up one hit in six innings and had 11 strikeouts.
Yeah, they had no hitters going on into the sixth inning.
Yeah, through six innings, neither team had a hit.
Barrios was pitching really well, too. Like, there's no doubt about it. But, yeah, that was... Yeah, Burns looked great.
Yeah, it's just the hitting has not come around yet. Yelich has gotten a couple hits. They're putting a shift on him, which bothers me because he's not normally a guy you could put a shift on because he doesn't just swing for power. He's a guy who hits for average, and you usually can't put a shift on a guy like that because he'll just hit opposite field. It just leads me to believe he hasn't quite gotten everything down yet, but he seems more comfortable up there at this point, and that makes me feel happy. I'm I'm concerned about Hira, but I'm not where Twitter is.
But I mean, it's one series into the season. I'm not ready to start jumping off. I mean, more than half of Brewers Twitter right now is the under 25 crowd that you wouldn't talk to in a bar anyways, because they're hyper and they just want to say things anyways, just to be heard. I just said that, ha ha ha. But so it's not jump off. I mean, I was there too when I was that age. You know, like, oh my God, this is already done. I'm already over this team. This is stupid. Why can't they win right now? This blah 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 blah. So I mean, I get it, but you know, everyone chill out. It'll be fine. So Hira will pull it around, but he is adjusting to that new position, and coming off a weird year. And yeah, let's just give it some time, folks. And the Twins are a really good team. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
The Twins are projected to the over under on the Twins is 88 or 89 games, depending upon which service you're looking at. That's a good team. So it is, the fact that we got one out of two from them is pretty good. But I'm not.
Yeah, we won out of three. Yeah. So it's just the big thing is, I guess, with Hira is if he were batting, you know, 250 with, you know, several home runs. And then had a series where he went four games now without a hit. You'd be like, oh, he's in a slump and he'll pull out of it. The problem is that this is the only number we have right now. And you're like, well, he's terrible. And yes, it's the fair point is to say he didn't look particularly good at the end of last year either. But part of last season is super weird. It's a 60-game season. I really do believe that changed people's approaches to the game a lot. Like, I think Yelich was reaching for a lot of things and really pushing to get back to kind of his normal way of hitting. And I think it made it worse for him, because I think he was really there was a pressure in saying, I can't just hit my way out of the slump. I have to be done with the slump already. And I think, you know, baseball's a very cerebral game.
Yeah.
Was it half the game is 90% mental?
Yeah, actually, it was 90% mental, yes. No, and to that fact, there was just a stat I saw the other day. Mike Trout, arguably best player in baseball.
Not
her. For the first time ever, this is a stat that blew my mind, because Trout's been playing for, what, 6-7 years now at this point?
It's been a while.
Right? Longer than that, maybe.
Yeah, it's
a little longer. He swung and missed at a 3-0 pitch outside of the zone for the first time in his life.
Jeez.
The other day. First time in his major league career. Swung and missed at a 3-0 pitch outside the zone.
And he opted out last year.
Trout did?
Didn't he?
No,
I thought he did because he had the...
No, Trout played last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just...
But I'm just saying, though, that, like, that's the first... I mean, that you're talking about how cerebral the game is, and I was just thinking that, too. Like, you're talking about how they're, you know, Yelich forcing things that he shouldn't be swinging at, and I saw that stat the other day about Trout, and I was like, my God, like, are you kidding? Like, yeah, anyways.
Okay, yeah, no, you're right. I'm sorry. I thought he was one of the guys who had out there. I forget who it was. He had talked about it because I think his wife was pregnant, so he wasn't sure he was going to play.
Do you see how much he makes a year?
No, I don't care.
Yeah, he makes way too much money to sit a year out.
Anyways. He makes enough money that he could sit any year out, to be clear. he'll just make it again next year. It's like he makes that money.
He could buy a lot of children from another country with how much he makes a year.
Yeah, and his contract's fully guaranteed because it's baseball.
Yeah.
And the only fully guaranteed contract that ever happened in the NFL was Kirk Cousins. And so now nobody will do it again because it was obviously a mistake.
Yeah.
He was the wrong test case.
Don't do that.
Right. And everybody must be upset.
Oh, my God. Speaking of lots of guaranteed money and a big waste of time, sorry, I know we're in baseball right now. We didn't get to it during the NFL portion, but Watson down there in Houston.
Oh, yeah, that's a...
My goodness gracious. Anyways, back to baseball.
So much on that, yeah. So, yeah, no, it's... I'm not in panic mode. Four games into a season on the Brewers. I do want to see, you know, Hira start to hit the ball. That would be nice because
that would be nice.
It's hard to win when Hira doesn't hit. I mean, he's batting 0. Mm-hmm. Urias is batting 100. Arcia's batting 91. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about, like, just not getting anything from a lot of players. Pleasant surprise, Narvaez has been hitting very well. He got a home run today. He went 2-for-3 with a 3-run home run. Yeah, he's batting 455. I don't think that'll continue either. I don't think a 0 for Hira is going to continue, and I don't think Narvaez is going to bat 455 for the rest of the year.
Is that going to be the next Mike Piazza?
No, I mean, he'll finish probably 230, 240 or something like that.
I'm sorry, Dad. Is that Mike Piazza over there? Oh, I can't tell.
Yeah, so I don't know. The big things for me is that the relief has looked pretty good so far, and we haven't had a chance to see a lot of Hader, though Hader came in that he got the win in the first game because he pitched that inning where one ball got away. They got a runner to third, but he just cleared out the bases. You know, he just cleared out the whole inning by himself, basically. So it was great. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen a lot of some of the other guys. I don't think we've seen Perdomo pitch. We were so excited for Tapas, and then now he's injured. He's going to be missing some significant time. But still, Fire Eisen's looked pretty nice out there. I've gotten some decent innings from Freddy Peralta, who's going to be the fifth starter. He came out and gave a couple good innings in one of those games, too. So, yeah, I mean, the starting pitching's looked pretty good. Hauser had a nice start the other day. It got away from him pretty fast down the stretch there. And then, you know, the bullpen couldn't do anything that day. But that Twins team can play. Sometimes you just, you know, sometimes you eat the bear. Sometimes the bear eats you. You know, just this was one of those days, and we'll see how it goes. Baseball's 162 games. You can't freak out yet. And if they continue to play like this, I will freak out. But this is not the time, right? All right, so we'll move on then. We do have Bucks news. Obviously, the Bucks continued to play while Aaron and I were off and gone the last week here. And, yeah, I mean, They got a little kind of streaky while we were gone here. So they had three rough losses and they came back. I mean, they lost to the Knicks, but they did come back then and have three wins. So just kind of a streaky little set here while this was all happening. So it was just to make sure we got this all. Yeah, so they got a win over the Celtics, then they lost to the Celtics. Mm-hmm. In pretty similar kind of games. We just scored less the second game. Lost to the Knicks, then lost in L.A. to the Clippers, and then beat the Lakers. I mean, LeBron wasn't playing, but it wasn't close. I mean, it's 112-97 in L.A.
Right.
I mean, that's whatever Anthony Davis had and the rest of the team had just wasn't anywhere near it. And they would be closer if they had LeBron, but they weren't even close. It was not a competition. That game was not close.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just walked away from the Blazers, 127-109. And that one, Antetokounmpo has 47 points in 33 minutes. He doesn't finish out that game either, too. That's the thing. It's like, who doesn't leave him in to get 50? You've got that chance that he's going to get 50. And it's like, let's just pull him in.
You save him for the long run, man. Burn him out.
It is nice to have the idea that he would have gotten 50, though, because that's something people will talk about. You know, 47 people don't talk about because it's not one of those numbers.
Yeah, because Will Chamberlain averaged that for a season at one point. So
he was 18 of 21 from the field. Actually, the only shots he missed were his three-pointers. He missed 3 3-pointers. Those are the only shots he missed. He was 11 of 13 from free throws.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
47. That's such a good field goal percentage. That's
yeah.
That's efficiency. I love it. Anyways.
So this is one of those rare games where the bench, not a single player on the bench gets double digits, but that's, you know, 20 points from Middleton, 22 from Holiday, 47 from Antetokounmpo, 127-109. Beat them up. I mean, this game is basically, well, see, they win the first and the third quarters, lose the second and the fourth, but still walk away with nearly, well, they get an 18-point win, you know. So that, yeah, you feel happy about how that turns out. Yeah, just nothing from that bench from Portland for the most part. Let's see, it's a total of 20 points. 20 points for their entire bench. And so, you know, the Bucks bench outscored Portland's bench, but, you know, didn't have those double-digit scorers that normally are the big key to winning games. They also had, what was the other game? Oh, yeah, L.A., and then they got to play Sacramento. This is one that's actually kind of weird, where they only had a one-point win. And, you know, like, they were up by 8 going into the fourth and ended up winning by 1. So, I don't know. Your thoughts on that game? Did you get to watch any of that one?
No, not a chance. Okay. I was on vacation, John.
Okay. It's interesting. I mean, like, DiVincenzo.
I watch sports at night when my kids are in bed, but when we're on vacation, I'm watching a lot of YouTube videos and various things on Amazon Prime. So,
yeah. I mean, in this game, I mean, they get 129. The problem is, to me, the Kings, who are not a good team. Playing at home,
bottom,
whatever.
Bottom third.
Yeah. But I mean, like, they put up 128.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what happens with the defense here. I mean, it's first and foremost, Giannis did not play. But fun points here, like, DiVincenzo is 3 assists away from a triple-double. I mean, he's got 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 12 points. That wouldn't be the most exciting triple-double ever, but it's almost a triple-double.
I feel like getting 10, 10, and 10.
More exciting is Drew Holiday is 3 rebounds away from a triple-double in that same game. He's got 7 rebounds, but 11 assists and 33 points. And, you know, 18 points from Portis off the bench. You know, I mean, 4 of the 5 starters in double digits. They got 5 players in double digits. Did not get enough from the bench. I mean, first off, because you've got to have, you've got Connaughton in there, Lopez, DiVincenzo, Holiday, and Middleton. Yeah, so I mean, like, you're going a 3-guard set in there at this point without really a power forward. So you're going kind of small with their starting lineup. Thanasis had to have 8 minutes, 20 minutes from Portis. You got Teague, the newly acquired Teague, out there too, getting 18 minutes and 2 points. So, yeah, I mean, jeez. I guess this one, just without having Giannis on the floor, I guess you take this as a win, but still, yeah, that's rough. I don't know.
Yeah. So, sorry, I'm going to break the fourth wall here. So, just because it's you know, we're a sports program. Yeah, Gonzaga lost 86-70 to Baylor. So there you go. Who saw that one coming? That was an all around rough game for Gonzaga. Holy smokes!
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways,
any other good for Baylor? Yeah, that's good for Baylor, the team that obviously knocked off the Badgers. But say, looking here, obviously back to the Bucks, where we
have to feel good for the team that knocked your team off, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I have no qualms with Baylor. They were just way better than the Badgers. I mean, like, the Badgers didn't play badly. They weren't a bad team. They just, Baylor was way better than them. Mm-hmm. Where the Bucks are sitting
apparently good enough to win a national championship, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right. Sorry. Can we do Bucks again?
I'll get my head back into the game now because the game was ending. That's why you were losing me there. I was just watching the end of the game. I've told you this. I've said this many times. That's why I can't have the TV on in the background. That's why if a Brewers game is on or anything like that, I can't have it on in the background because I'll be watching that. So, sorry. I figured the NCAA National Championship would be enough to take my attention away for a little bit. And it won't ever happen again. I'm sorry, sir.
All right. Bucks have the Warriors coming up on the 6th, which might be the day you're listening to this, depending on when you get to it. It's tomorrow for us as we record it. That's one they should win because the Warriors keep finding a way to have one of their major stars out all year so that they can continue getting high draft picks so that they can own us all in 2 years. But Bucks are 9.5 up on Indiana. I believe there's 24 games left. I'd have to double-check my math on that, but I believe there's 24 left after the Kings game. 9.5 up on Indiana. but still sitting in third overall. That part doesn't worry me particularly. They're two games back of Brooklyn now and a game and a half back of the Sixers. They're going to have that back-to-back with the Sixers coming up here shortly. And that's really the next major game because, like, what we're looking at coming up, Golden State, then Dallas. And then you've got Charlotte, Orlando, Minnesota, Atlanta, Memphis. That's a stretch that the Bucks should just really roll through.
Mm-hmm.
Only one of those is a home game, but it does not matter. And by the way, we were talking about this before the game, but if you are in the Orlando area and would like to see the Bucks, $18. Yeah. $18 right now.
$18.
If yes. You're in Atlanta, I mean, $40.
I could probably find that and change in my couch. So not that any of us have change anymore because we all use debit cards.
Yeah,
but anyway, carries cash. You used to be able to find change in the couch.
But I mean, like, there's a three game set right after that little stretch there. It's going to be very interesting. They're going to have to play Phoenix. These are all home games though. Phoenix, Philadelphia, right. Philadelphia.
Yep.
Like those three games. That's a rough stretch. But then you're going to get Atlanta, Charlotte, Houston, Chicago. And then you get to play two in a row against Brooklyn. So, I mean, like, you've got those games to make that up. And those mm-hmm. games are sandwiched by garbage. Just games you should be able to get healthy through and stay in the hunt through those games. Other than Phoenix. Phoenix is that's a good team. And I don't
yeah.
– there's not much else in these, though. I mean – playing Houston a couple times to the end of the year. We've got two games against Houston left. That team is done.
Right. No, they finally broke their 20-game losing streak, which I was not in favor of. I wish they would have just lost the whole rest of the season. That would have made it a whole lot more interesting for all involved.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So I feel good about where the Bucks are. I'm not as concerned this year about getting the one seed.
Nope.
We've seen it twice. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them. I just want to see them do something with the season. And I think, you know, Drew Holiday gives them that capability to do it. I think him as the third member on that team, and he did just sign a 4-year extension. And he said, I'm a Buck for life, which I hope 4 years is not the rest of his playing career.
No,
but,
I know.
No, but I mean, it's nice to have that, you know, and it kills that dumb narrative that the NBA keeps telling us that nobody wants to play in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is a great city. It's a fun city. It is a good city to, you know, it's a very livable city. It is a clean, beautiful, historic city on a lake, the largest lake. you have so much stuff around you, so many things nearby. I mean, you're in Chicago briefly too, just nearby. So it's like the whole metro area is very good and a good place to live and raise kids. And there's enough of a nightlife for anybody. So I don't understand that narrative. Milwaukee is a fantastic place to be and live. I don't want to live there just because I don't want to live in big cities. But that's just me. You know, I understand that that's just me. You know, so. But it's a nice place. And also, like, look at the Bucks have locked down, you know, their bigger talent. They've got now Giannis and Drew and Middleton for long periods of time. Jelic just re-upped the other year too. Like, lots of talent is staying in Milwaukee because it's a nice place to play. The fans really support you and always show up. So it's a nice place to play and live. So
as long as you don't go on Twitter, they always show up. But as long as you don't go on Twitter, they
stay off Twitter because those people are Twitter for anything is just the worst part of any fan base.
Poverty. Don't get me started on the downhill swing that the Packer Twitter's turned on.
It's rough in a lot of places. That's why it's like you can't judge anybody by what their Twitter group looks like because it's all bad. It's all bad out there.
I was this big a jerk when I was in high school because the Packers won the Super Bowl when we were what, juniors, sophomores.
Yeah, they won as no, they won the juniors. No, yeah, you're right. Sophomores and then our junior year, yeah.
And then junior year, they lost to the Broncos. But, and I'm sure that our parents thought that we were big jerks too, you know, coming out of that.
Not me.
Like, oh, the Packers win all the time. That's all they do. But, I mean, some of the kids that are on Twitter now, like, I'm old man yelling at the clouds. But, yeah, the kids on Twitter now that are just relentless about the Packers because the first thing they remember was the Super Bowl in 2010. And they've known nothing but winning since then, except for one season that was 8-7-1, which is still technically winning.
We
did have one losing season. That's right.
Yeah, like three years ago, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. But Packers are are the worst run organization in all of the NFL, and it's like. Do you know what else is out there? Like the other 32 teams.
It's rough.
Big
thing. I'm looking at this now too, and the Bucks. I mean, we all know the Bucks are going to be one of those top three seeds because Atlanta's there. They're 8.5 back. They're 6.5 back of the Bucks for that three spot. I don't particularly see them catching the Bucks at this point, and the Bucks are going to win their division and. I mean, there's nobody else any good. The rest of the division is going to miss the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Pacers are the next best team in the Central, and they are the 9th seeded team right now. And then, you've got Cleveland and Detroit. Detroit is the worst team in the East and the third worst team in basketball right now.
Right.
So, yeah.
I just can't get over the fact that they actually have, like, divisions within the conferences anymore because nobody even looks at those standings anymore.
It's like, just the automatic, you know, like you automatically get in, but it doesn't automatically mean much because the NBA doesn't seed them 1, 2, 3. They don't get an automatic top seed just because they're a division champ. So, you know, the Bucks technically could win the division and be the 4th or 5th place team because of how the NBA
does it. Unlike the NHL that doesn't have a wild card anymore. Did you see that? That's crazy.
The way they did it now, and this would be interesting if they keep this in the NHL, is the four divisions, and they just play each other, and then they're sending the top four from each division to play on. And one of the divisions is the North, which is all the Canadian teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's finally in the year when Toronto's good. They're just killing the other Canadian teams, which is interesting. But yeah,
or like the West, where the Wild are, they're against, they're potentially the three best teams in hockey, Las Vegas, Colorado, and them.
Yeah,
and it's only one of those teams is going to make it out. You know, it's like what the hell.
Well, yeah, in the East they've got Boston's the 4 seed right now, but they're in the East. And they've got probably, I think it's the 2nd or 3rd highest goal differential, and they're like they're 4th in their own division.
For the sport that is most steeped in long term history, like hockey is, because they have one trophy.
Yeah,
they're the most flexible league as far as like trying to make things more watchable for the fans. They really are. Like They're pretty ballsy with some of the stuff they do. Like,
and they've got to at times because they're still trying to grow an audience more so than like the NFL or Major League Baseball necessarily seems to be. Right. Yeah, and the other nice thing for the NHL is they are, you know, this is not necessarily Wisconsin specific, but the NHL will be on ESPN again. And that's a giant thing for the NHL because that means they'll show their highlights on ESPN shows.
Because they pretty much got blacked out for the last 13 years.
Yeah.
Ever since they walked away from ESPN. Yeah.
Yeah. Once ESPN didn't have them, then suddenly ESPN barely covered them on SportsCenter. They'd put a little highlight here or there, but yeah, it'll be different now. I mean,
Barry Melrose pretty much disappeared.
Yeah. Except for the playoffs. They dust him off for the playoffs. Yeah. So that's. I'm excited for that.
For anybody who says that the NBA is most flexible. It's not. I mean, the basic rules of basketball haven't changed in 100 years. It's still the same thing. Yeah, there's a 3-point line.
They just don't call any of the penalties now.
Right. And now guys get to take five steps before they jump to the basket instead of just the two steps they used to get, you know. But I mean, as far as like changing rules, like wholeheartedly changing rules, like, I mean, baseball, it was, I mean, it took an act of God to get them to put a runner at second base so we don't go 18 innings every single game that goes into extra innings. But I mean, they still couldn't get the National League to do a designated hitter. You know,
yeah.
The flexibility rules are NHL, NFL.
The NFL changes them all the time. Yeah.
They change them all the time. Actually, NFL is probably number one. And then NHL is 1B. And then, you know, far way back behind is NBA and then MLB. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I mean, and it's too bad for the NHL. They're trying really hard. But I mean, it's such a regional market and such a Canadian game. You know, like, it's never going to catch on in, you know, urban areas that are south of where ice naturally happens. So, anyway, how did we get on that tangent? That was weird.
Well, that's what you do, man. You just do what you do. Sorry. We're glad for it. I mean, that's kind of where we are right now. We had, you know, we got you caught up on some Packer stuff. We went over the Bucks. We went over the Brewers. We got opening day. We had, I mean, it was a lot of feels. The last 2 weeks in terms of sports, but yeah, we're, you know, without having football and, you know, having our basketball and hockey kind of close off, some of this is kind of wound down here. So what we're going to do now, though, is finish everything off with what we lovingly call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Aaron, we'd be remiss if we didn't start off the last call by talking about the fact that Barry Alvarez has announced his retirement. Yeah, that's rough to hear. We'll have to see what they do in terms of replacing one of the, you know, I mean, they've had a very fortunate two straight, very iconic athletic directors. I mean, Richter being followed by Alvarez is kind of a great stepping stone from one to the next. To be able to do that in a program is huge. I don't know who they bring in next to be someone like that. I was trying to think of a player or a personality that could step in and be huge like that. Here's one name that came to mind that I know they'll never do. Joe Thomas.
That'd be fun, right? I was going out on some other limbs there, and I was going to say too. Did you know that his grandson plays on the football team?
Yes.
Yeah, Barry Alvarez's grandson plays on the football team.
Can we make him athletic director?
No. I was just, whenever anyone says Barry Alvarez anymore, that's all I can think of. No, how about Barstool Big Cat?
Jeez. Yeah.
That'd be fun. He's a Wisconsin alum.
Yeah, he'd be an interesting guy. I'm going to say for the sheer fact that as I was driving back to Wisconsin through Illinois and Indiana, I saw Barstool Big Cat on a lot of billboards because Barstool Sportsbook is now open as Indiana and Illinois are allowing sports gambling. And they had a lot of billboards up, and I was like, "I know that guy." Oh yeah, wait, and then
Illinois got sports gambling.
I believe so, yes. And so yeah, then there was.
I am 10 miles from Illinois, John.
And then they had Barstool Presidente, which just absolutely turns you off. You're like, I don't want to listen or see that stupid face anywhere.
I like him.
The Presidente.
He's fun.
No, that guy's a jerk and misogynistic and.
He's fun.
Anyways, I don't think you're reading enough about him yet, Aaron.
So other Wisconsin alumni. I do like Joe Thomas. I was trying to think.
I don't know what other coach you could use because there's been no other real, you know, iconic type coach.
You haven't been back a player. Is Shaka Smart available?
No, I guess that's the other thing we'd say is that Shaka Smart is now going to be the head basketball coach at Marquette for the men's team.
Oh, no way. So he's unavailable to be the AD at Wisconsin. Yeah, shoot.
Too bad. All right. Yeah.
See what See what it
but
is
it's
there.
Rolled us right through to the next parts there. But yeah, that's. I don't know if there's anybody else I can think of right now. I mean,
How about someone like Mark Tauscher? I mean,
he'd be interesting too. Yeah, I mean, he's been in radio.
I mean,
and
I
stuff
don't know what his acumen is. You know, beyond being just a good dude. I mean, besides being a great player, good dude, and an awesome radio personality. But I think GM takes a little bit more than that. So,
do we have Matt LaPay do it?
Good. You could have Matt LaPay do it.
Yeah. Matt LaPay is.
I think Matt LaPay would be fine in doing it.
I would listen to any press conference he has. Just anything where he talks, I would listen.
Yeah. He does have a golden voice. He really does.
It's so great. The other things here, men's hockey, just because we hadn't covered it after we left, were on air. They were a one seed in their bracket, and they lost the first game. Just an absolutely flat first period, and it ended them. Yeah, I mean, just they played with no energy in that first period. During the last several games, I mean, against Penn State, Minnesota, and then Bemidji, they just didn't look like they had any energy. It's just like once they beat Michigan, actually even counting the last game of the season against Michigan State, they didn't look very energized in that game. They just won because they were vastly more athletic and they're just a more talented team than Michigan State. But you didn't get to sneak by, you know, all these playoff teams. You didn't get to sneak by Penn State. They did eventually sneak by Penn State by a goal late. They didn't get to sneak by Minnesota, and they don't sneak by Bemidji State by not caring. Then it was ridiculous to watch. It was terrible. I was so mad about it. Well, I think we got Minnesota State, UMass, Minnesota Duluth, and
Mankato State, as I will continue calling them. We've argued about this. Mankato State, St. Cloud State, and UMD, and whoever else.
UMass, yeah.
Who? UMass, is that the other one?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Mark Parrish, who's on the Power Trip Morning Show, Wild. He played for 7 NHL teams, Bloomington South. He played for St. Cloud State, and this is the for a lot of people, this is the best Final Four ever if you're from the state of Minnesota, because it's,
Minnesota's not in it.
It's three Minnesota's teams without having Minnesota in it.
Yep.
So it's great. Yep. Who's the team that was in UMass's side that could have made it from Minnesota too? Was that Bemidji? No.
That was Bemidji. Yeah. So UMass beat Lake Superior State and then they beat Bemidji. So Minnesota State took out Minnesota.
So they were the Mavericks. So there's one game away from having all Minnesota teams in the Frozen Four. So I'm happy for it. I'm stoked that
as long as it's not Minnesota.
As long as it's not Minnesota, I don't really care. It's all the state schools and UMD. I don't care.
You just wait till St. Thomas gets there.
As long as it's not a whole bunch, and especially being that all the East Coast teams, and I know we're a Wisconsin podcast, and we're supposed to be cheering for Wisconsin here, and you know Wisconsin blew it. So let me have this moment here.
They really did.
So
they should have won that one.
With all the East Coast biases on all these tournaments and how some teams have been stiffed, you know, even just in the women's tournament, how University of Minnesota got stiffed, you know, for their women's team, for another East Coast team, it makes the cockles of my heart warm seeing three teams from Minnesota in the Frozen Four. And because that's the only state that really cares about hockey in the entire United States. It really is. So
that's untrue, but nice.
No, it is.
No. I mean,
because all the other schools out east are just rich and nobody cares about hockey out there.
Yeah, because they got a bean pot in Minnesota, right?
They don't care about hockey out east. Well,
they don't care about hockey in Michigan, right?
No, they don't care about
that. See, this is why I mean, you're not right. You're incorrect, but it's nice.
They don't care about hockey there.
This is, man, I played hockey in Michigan. I'm telling you, you're wrong.
I can't believe you're defending Michigan people.
I'm telling you, you're wrong. Like, that's the most Minnesota thing you could have said is, Nobody cares about hockey but us. Like, no, that's such a weird Minnesota thing. About
committing heinous crimes at their university.
Michigan has more titles than any other university in hockey.
You're defending Michigan right now.
I'm defending all the other states that aren't Minnesota because you're wrong about that. Other states like hockey.
I know Michigan has most titles. I get that.
Yeah, and other states care about hockey. BC cares about hockey. They do. No. They really do. BU.
BC, that's not Massachusetts.
Not UMass. They're not as big, but BCBU. Those are hockey schools. That's the only D1 sports that they really care about. Because other than Flutie, I mean, where do they watch it?
Well, the Boston Red Sox and the Patriots.
And the Terriers. The Terriers, yeah. They don't...
They ain't watching any of that.
They don't play any other D1 sports, I don't believe. Maybe lacrosse. Yeah. But
what was the school I was talking about the other day? That was that TU after the show last week?
Possibly.
Had enrollment of 2,000 people in their D1 hockey team.
Which one
was that? Ah, shoot. It was one of the teams.
American International.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's the team that North Dakota played.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, we looked it up after the show, and I was like, their enrollment's 2,000 people. Like, they're NAIA for everything except for hockey.
Yeah. The other big thing here is women's volleyball is the number one overall seed in the tournament. NCAA Wisconsin. They're the Big Ten regular season champs. They're Big Ten champs, and they are the number one overall seed. They will get a bye in the first round of the playoffs, and then they will play the winner of Bowling Green and Weber State. So that's very exciting. The Badgers closed out their season undefeated.
Good.
Beat Minnesota, finished up beating who was their last one they had there. They beat Minnesota. They beat Michigan in back-to-backs. They had to miss Penn State, but they beat everybody. So, I mean, and
where's the basketball with volleyball this year?
They're ranked fifth, so they're the highest two seed. Okay. So, I mean, like, but listen to these scores. Like, they beat number 13 Purdue 3-0. They beat Illinois 3-0. They beat Rutgers 3-0. Indiana 3-0. Michigan State 3-0. Minnesota, number 5 ranked Minnesota 3-1. They beat number 24 Michigan 3-0. They lost one set. Three sets the whole year.
So what you're saying is that after I went on a rant a couple weeks ago about women's sports in general, is that the health of the UW women's sports programs are doing very well right now.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Women's volleyball, women's hockey are carrying the UW programs right now. They are fantastic. Watch these
Go Title IX.
Yeah, so... April 15th will be the second round. The regional semifinals will be April 18th, April 19th, will be regional finals. The final four will be the 22nd, and then the championship will be the 24th. So lots coming up there. Those will all be televised. The final four will be on ESPN2. Wow. How about that? I mean, that's pretty good. Watch them. These are great, great teams. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Will those games get blacked out in my area as well?
No, probably. I hope not.
I was so mad this last week. I can't watch it on FSN/Bally's North because I'm blacked out for whatever reason here.
I am as well. In fact, most streaming services lost all the Sinclair stuff, and then they lost all the FSN. So the only way to get back to FSN is either, it looks like, AT&T TV or get cable again. And
it's hot garbage. It's got to hate that.
The idea that MLB TV won't just take my money and let me watch the Brewers. Why won't you just take my money
and not only that,
let me watch whoever I want?
It pissed me off to no end last year when we can't go to the stadiums because the blackout rules are to make you go buy tickets and go to the games.
Right.
That's the spirit of the blackout rule, is to make you go buy tickets, right?
Yeah.
And we can't buy tickets, and we're getting blacked out because if I lived one county further west in Greene County, I could watch that.
Not on streaming.
Word I just didn't almost
not said. On streaming. You can't. They're just gone. The FSN is gone. That's the thing.
Oh, completely no.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I have it.
Bally's? It's Bally's now.
Yeah, it's the same company. It doesn't matter. Just my service, and I'm taking it yours too on Sling. I believe that they're not part of the streaming services anymore. Like, they just don't have the old FSN, now Bally Sports, whatever.
What the hell is wrong with baseball?
I just don't understand the idea. Like, you have a streaming service.
It is the most fan unfriendly sport ever. It has the longest games that are the most boring. We still stand by it.
Yeah.
They have stupid salary regulations that make certain teams unbeatable in certain towns. And now they're going to take away our games from us. So we have to go buy, like, the average person it used to be we could just get the games on air. And now they're allowing it to be.
You have to have the regional network.
It's so hard to even see the game. You don't even know who the hell you can go with anymore to watch these games.
Yeah, and it's getting rough.
In the meantime, football's like, hey, we're going to put Thursday night games on Prime. And we're going to make this super. We're going to make everything. We're going to put games on Twitter. You know, like. Yeah.
If the teams are really trying to just get this out there, I don't understand why they had to just do this. Like, say, pay us $100 each. You can watch every game. You know, just, we don't need to have a TV station put it out there. I mean, they do it because some people don't get internet and they want to make sure everyone can watch the games. But I mean, like, they could just sell you a straight up streaming package for football. They could do it for baseball. They could just, which they have it for baseball. They're just refusing to let me watch my own team, even though I can't watch it on my streaming service. And I'm not going to go back to cable just for this. And it makes me mad. Because it's not worth the money to have the cable. And Charter is garbage. Just hot garbage.
I mean,
they just don't ever give me
anything. Yeah, we're gonna throw down another up to $60 a month on top of the $100 we're already paying for just internet alone. If you don't have cable, it's...
Yeah.
Welcome to capitalism, folks. This is how it works.
Yeah.
You're going to get priced out.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, it shouldn't, because somebody else should be able to come into the market and offer you this service at, you know, or at least provide you more.
That's what's going to happen. It's just going to be like, it's just like anything. They're just like the housing bubble or anything else. They're just going to outprice everything so nobody can buy anything anymore until they've maxed out the amount of money that they can make. And then they'll go, oh, shoot, we can't do this anymore. And all right, we'll back our prices off now. Not only that, but they're just alienating fans. Like, how is an average kid who only gets on air TV and has internet in their home supposed to watch a sports game?
Well, I don't get why they just market directly to people.
How do
people.
You grow your game if it's not easily available?
Yeah, they could just market directly to us. They don't even need to use the TV stations if they don't want to.
They don't. All they care about is making more and more money. That's all they care about, and that's what last season was in COVID. Like, it had nothing to do with what the fans wanted. It's how much money they could make off how many games. And that's where we're at. So it's not about, you know what, go find your own local minor league team and watch them. I'm going to go watch the Beloit Snappers next year. I don't care.
I'll just watch, I guess, the Pointers or something.
Sure. Well, you got the Woodchucks.
Yeah. Well, we've got the Rafters here in Rapids too. That's not minor league, but Woodbat Summer Ball.
Oh, is that Northern League?
No, the Woodchucks are part of Woodbat. They're the Northwoods.
No, what are the Rafters? Are they
They're Northwoods League, yep. The closest minor league team would be going over to Appleton to watch the Timber Rattlers.
That's what the Duluth Huskies were. I miss that stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. Get on that one. Oh, Latarius Gunter was the D-back I was trying to think about earlier too, John.
Gunter is so fun. I just love that name. Such a good one.
He was so bad, but it wasn't his fault. He was only supposed to be a special teams player that ended up having to be a starting safety.
Well, there you go.
Hey.
Good to know. All right, everybody. Thanks again for another wonderful week, another wonderful show. And thank you to all of our fans all over the world for joining us here. We love having you here. We're sorry we had to miss a week there, but we're back and we're looking forward to coming back next week and seeing how everything else is playing out again. So Remember, I guess we didn't put this out at the top, but you can follow the show on Twitter at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host, and you can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. And remember, of course, to download, listen, subscribe, rate, and review us. And whether you are in the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
God, we always forget that part about Twitter.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.